Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Oh boy. Nate, my dad apparently has figured out how to post Facebook stories.
Oh boy.
And I look at his Facebook story, it's a him, it's a picture of him and Jason Whitlock. So
that's awesome.
It is. So my dad was mad last night.
Well, you got kind of, you know, Marco, were you there when Steven got dad mad at me?
When when he slapped you on the face, when he Will Smith you?
No, I'll give you a good explanation. Listen to me. I'll explain myself.
First of all, your back was, I know your back was killing you by that point in the night. And that's when I realized this normal Steven, I think, would have laughed very heartily at my little prank.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
You want to know why?
Okay.
I cannot get me, Susan, Richie, Phil, Selena, and Julia all together for a picture ever anymore. It doesn't happen. Richie lives out in Independence, his own house. Phil is everywhere at all time except home. And the girls don't like taking pictures. But just to get them all four together when we're all dressed up, and I don't even remember the last time we were able to do that. And the girls went out and bought new dresses.
They looked great, by the way. They looked incredible.
Phil had a suit on, and Richie was dressed up. I had, you know, had a sports coat on. Susan had a beautiful dress on. I said, okay, I got to get this picture. I was thinking all night. And Richie was going to leave. I knew he was going to leave. I got to get this picture. And so if you saw me, as soon as I was done, remember, I said, you said, am I introducing Casey Flo? I said, yep, I'm done. I'm going. I was running over there to get a picture before Richie was going to leave, right? Because his girlfriend recently had had knee surgery, and she soldiered through last night, but he was going to get her out of there. And so, and you know, he had played, he played from 6 to 6:45, so he was beat. And so I said, do not leave, you know, come up here. So I had him with me. I said, you can't leave. We got to go get pictures. I get back there, and all my family spread out everywhere talking to people, right? And it's like herding cats. I said, get everyone in here. I'm hearing the complaining and everyone else. And so finally, and it's at the end of the night, nobody wants to take it. I said, please, will you just smile? Please, I know Richie's got to go. Get the pictures. Rob Manning from sales is snapping the pictures, right? And I thought he took like 5, 6, 7 of them. He took 2 of them. And both of them you would photobomb. And I was so pissed off. And I go, you MF-er. But you got to understand. You have to understand what was behind it. That was like the most unbelievably difficult and frustrating task to get my entire family together for the pictures. And as soon as the pictures were taken, there was like they were breaking out of jail. They're going. I mean, their last name is St. John, after all. But they're going, and they're running away, right? They're done with the picture. And I go, look. Both the pictures that Rob Manning took had you photobombing them. I love you, but I need a picture of my family, right? And so I said, probably a little too loud, I said, get back here and take the picture. They all come back here. I said, if anyone's behind us for this picture, I'm going to turn around, I'm going to crack them right in the mouth. And there were some other people that I didn't know, and they kind of scurried off. I go, what? Sorry. I didn't mean
they
that.
They did.
I'm sorry. You know, but I was just... Hey, you'll get it someday.
No, I...
when your kids are all teenagers or whatever else, and you can't get them in the same room at the same time, and all you're asking for as a father, can I please get an effing picture of my family all looking at the camera with a... Not even with it, because Julia's not smiling. That ship has sailed. Just look at the camera, and don't be mad. Don't make a funny face. You know, Richie, do not choke your brother. All these things, right? It's the grabassery during a picture is over the top, okay? And so we got it, and then we had to take it again, and we finally got the picture. But that's why. You see what I'm saying? It was like, and there was a time limit. Richie had to go. It was like, please, can I get this picture? Because we've been at other events where I'm emceeing and I've got duty and I can't get out there. By the time I get out there, the opportunity is gone, or whatever, man, to leave, or this or that, or, oh, Phil left with one of his friends. Like, what? What? He was just here. Yeah, so that's what the frustration was, Nate. You just caught the you caught the brunt of it. So,
dude, the funny thing was, I was so proud of myself too, because I just happened to stumble upon this big picture with your whole family.
Yes.
And I was like, I looked and I saw Rob, and I thought to myself, first of all, Stephen has chosen the man with possibly the shakiest hands in all of Union Broadcasting.
That's why there are only two good pictures out of 10.
To take this picture. Rob is an incredible guy, also quite nervous most of the time. So I thought, man, this is good. And so I just like, oh, this is going to be good. I'm going to photobomb a couple of these, because he was holding that camera for a minute straight. So
but you photobombed all of them because he refused to take more than two pictures, apparently.
I thought he was taking like 10 pictures, and so I was like, I'm going to photobomb a couple of them, and then I'm going to get out of the way.
Because normally, to take pictures out of 10 of them with my family, it's only one of them. When Richie's not making a face at Phil, when, you know, Phil, you know, Richie's not giving the finger to Phil in the background, you know, brothers. One's 25, one's 19. They have to slap each other or do, you know, it's like the movie Step Brothers. They constantly doing something to irritate the other. And then the girls, you know how that is? Teenage girls, 13-year-old girls. I'm not smiling. I hate this picture. I don't want to do, you know, everything. And I'm sorry, but you get it now, right? No, you understand.
The funny thing was, I was like, okay, he's really mad at me right now. And Susan came over and goes, you know, she's just, you've married the sweetest person in the world. You know, we already know that. But she just walks up, she goes, you know, he'll think it's funny in a day or two.
And I do, because I got the picture.
Yeah.
Until I got the picture, it wasn't funny. I'll remind you of this, like, in 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
When all you want is a picture of you and your family dressed up.
Right.
And
right.
Your kids will not allow it.
Oh, 100%. I can already see it coming, because my seventh grade son now, he's going to be starting seventh grade this. Zero interest in any family participation in anything right now. Like, I might as well be forcing him to do manual labor in the hot sun to just, like, watch a TV show with his family, you know?
And if you do get a picture of him, he'll make a face like he's smelling a fart or something like that. And that's because that's what happens. And I'll look like, why did you make that picture? I mean, why did you make that face in the picture? Why? Everything else is fine. Why did you do this?
And then your idiot co-host photobombs that you finally get one.
And that's the thing. The picture that you photobombed was perfect. Everyone's smiling. So I'm going to figure out a way to,
Did the other ones turn out at least?
Yeah.
Okay,
they
good.
Did.
All right, good.
They did. But you could see with every picture taken, Julia went from just like a neutral face to frown to... Stop pointing this effing camera at me. I've never worn heels before, and my feet hurt, and I want to leave. So, by the way, she was trying to leave like 5 minutes into the show. So that's I love my girls, but they are not patient. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more, since we've got the preseason game tomorrow, and that's very important. It's at noon. Remember, don't forget. I know you're used to having preseason games at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock. It's noon. Let's go around the table here real quick. Nate, and then Marco, and then me. Who are you most excited? Give me two or three players you're most excited to watch tomorrow.
I'm going to try to take a couple names that aren't going to be obvious for everybody. So I'm going to say...
Patrick Mahomes. I want to see Mahomes, and I want to see Kelsey.
Those are my two guys.
I do. I mean, I do. That's who I'm most excited to see, so call me the dummy.
Right. No, I'm going to say Josh Williams is on, because, you know, the easiest answer is what Stan said. Just go down the list of the rookies. I want to see all of them. They all seem to be turning heads. They all seem to be doing positive things. I'm going to pick a couple. Josh Williams, because I know McDuffie's going to start. And so it's important what he does, but I kind of feel like no matter what he does in this preseason game, like he's starting this year. Williams is more of an X factor, Stephen. You know how much I love X factor.
He's not going to be there in Chicago, is he?
No, I don't know.
He's not banned out there. He can go.
Oh no.
He's not.
I don't think so. But no,
what if he went there and got punched? at Soldier Field also.
Well, I think he very likely would get punched at Soldier Field if he went there. I mean, yeah, it's the monsters of the Midway. I just hope there's cell phone footage of it. But with Williams, I do think for him, like, there are spots, whether it's as the nickel or just as a rotational guy, they need another corner to even. And with Shrod Fenton back is nice because maybe there's not as much pressure on a guy like Josh Williams to step up, but he seems to me like the latest in the line of Veach's amazing job and his scouting staff's amazing job of finding undervalued corners that fit the profile of what Spags is looking for, L'Jarius Sneed and Tre'Varius Ward being, you know, at the top of that list already.
Rashad
Fenton's a perfect one. Yeah, what round was he drafted in?
I want to say the sixth round.
Yeah, and they all have that same body type, you know, the long, lean guys that can play defense the way they want them to. And I'm very excited to see if he's the next one. I've heard so many great things about him. So he's at the top of the list. And let's see, for a second one.
Sixth round for Fenton, I was right.
Is it too obvious to say Isaiah Pacheco? I mean,
no.
Because I am doing my level best not to Darwin Thompson myself into this thing.
Talking to Chiefs PR? Hey, who looks good in camp?
Yeah.
mention Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah. And I got so carried away with Darwin Thompson, who did play for a while in the NFL. I mean, that's a success, you know, considering where he was drafted and everything. But he didn't quite become the star running back that I thought we would see. So I'm trying to, like, mute my expectations. But even if Isaiah Pacheco, let's say he's just the starting kick returner this year, and let's say he's the third or fourth running back, that's a wild success for where he's drafted. And that third or fourth running back we've seen many times can end up starting for you in week 9. So I want to see him, especially returning kicks, because there's a spot open there, by the way, with Byron Pringle gone. So those are the two guys that are going to be at the top of my list.
Marco Marquez.
Yeah, well, I'm going with my favorite rookie, Brian Cook, in the secondary.
Yeah, I like that.
He hasn't been getting, headlines or whatever.
Yeah.
But when anyone asks Spags about him, he he smiles. He just smiles and says, and he just goes, he's doing a really good job out there. You know, kind of understated, but you can tell Spags loves him. Go ahead.
No, and one of the reasons why, and you could tell me from what you've seen at practice, but when he was drafted, the analyst on whichever network I was watching the draft on, they used the term heat-seeking missile. That's what he's like. And that's somebody in the secondary that the Chiefs absolutely can need, and I'm ready to see where he's at, because that's a spot right there where you have one guy who's on a last year of his contract, and then you have Justin Reed coming in. Just curious to see where he's at with the safeties. And then I'll go another rookie, Darian Kennard, who when drafted, was kind of the Pacheco. We need to see what this guy does at camp. He's a potential fit for the right tackle position. Since then, it doesn't seem like it as of now, but I'm just curious to see where he is with the rest of the offensive linemen, because that's going to be a big thing for this Chiefs team, is the depth at that position. And so, and he's in the photos of training camp when they're walking down a hill, he stands out because he's just so big. And so I'm just curious to see the technical stuff from him and what he does on Saturday.
It's a good point, because I would like to see Kennard push Andrew Wiley, because there hasn't been there is no debate there right now. Andrew Wiley is the right tackle, and that's fine if he's the best right tackle, but I wanted Kennard to push him more, and that hasn't happened. And ultimately, when Lucas Niang gets healthy, it will be interesting to see how that plays out. But, you know, if we're going to talk about how great all the rookies look, and it's not that Kennard hasn't looked fine, and physically he looks terrific, but I'm a little disappointed that he hasn't made that more of a competition, that he hasn't pushed Andrew Wiley at right tackle. Not to say that he won't do it once the season gets here, or if knock on wood, hopefully it doesn't happen, or if Wiley were to go out with an injury, and who knows if it's Kennard would be the guy that immediately steps in, but if he does, then maybe he'll rise to the occasion. But that was one of the guys, I think people, that was a sexy pick, like Marco said, a rookie that would come in and maybe push for playing time, and that hasn't happened. Not to say that it won't, but it would be really good to see him get some good reps on Saturday against the Bears, because let's be honest, some guys are just better in a game. You know, some guys are better in a game against another team as opposed to practice. And yet with Cook, let me tell you, man, early on, I don't know how much these guys will be on the field together, but there are going to be moments at Arrowhead Stadium when Leo Chenal or Brian Cook absolutely freaking light someone up, and that crowd's going to go crazy, and that highlight's going to be played for weeks after that. These two guys are beasts. They can hit, and they're going to just mark my words. And we know that about Chenal. He's already shown that in camp. But you're right. Cook is known as a huge hitter. And honestly, those two guys bring a level, I think, of intimidation and a level of toughness and big hit ability that is going to be, I think, a much-needed addition to this defense. To give, and this defense, I think, is going to develop a mentality like that. Like, you don't want to go across the middle. You don't want one of these guys to hit you, because they're going to make, you might catch that ball. You better hold on to it, because you're going to get the, you know what, knocked out of you. And that's, this defense kind of got a reputation of, let's be honest, of being finesse. You know, you could push this defense around a little bit. They went out and were adamant about bringing in guys that ain't going to happen no more. And so not only changing, you know, what this defense is, but who it is and what their personality is. I think Brian Cook's going to be a big part of that. So that's good. That's good stuff. Yeah. We'll take a break and talk to Andy Rogers after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk to Andy Rogers from MLB.com. She covers the Royals, and she talks about the Royals with us every week. Andy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Okay, doing well. I need to get a ruling from you. I took my family to see the Elvis movie, and then in one of the previews was the new movie that Harry Styles is in. And when he came on screen, my daughter sat up and screamed and scared the hell out of everyone in the entire movie theater because Harry Styles is in a movie. And then she yells at me. She goes, "That's Harry Styles!" I know it is. That's for sure. Have you seen the preview for the Harry Styles movie? And are you excited? And will you go see it?
First of all, I don't think that's a dramatic reaction at all. Let's just be clear. That's about what I expected. But yes, I've seen it. I've seen the trailer, and I'm definitely excited to go see it when it comes out. I'm not sure when it drops, but it might be my first thing I do in the off season.
Right. Very, very excited. And I think it's directed by Olivia Wilde. So I think it's called Don't Worry, Darling.
Yes.
But I have been told about it every day now. Did you know he's in a movie? I said, yes, I saw the trailer with you, Selena. But I knew you'd be excited about that as well. Now, I scream the way she screams for Harry Styles. I scream when Vinny Pasquantino hits a home run. And I've been screaming a lot lately. He has 3 home runs in his last 4 games. And I think we've all been waiting for Vinny to get hot, to get one of these stretches like we saw when he was at AAA, when people were demanding that he get called up. And it feels like here we are. Last 14 days, he's hitting .313 with a .370 on base and a .563 slug. In the last week, he's hitting .391 with a .783 slug and a .440 on base for a .1223 OPS. Vinny Pasquantino, this is the guy that we were all clamoring for. It feels like he's in the zone right now. We're going to see one of these hot stretches where he hits for power, he's getting on base, and he's showing us why so many people were excited about him in the minors, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely confident and dangerous when he comes up to the plate. Those 3 home runs were really big for the Royals this week against the White Sox. You know, he's been hitting the ball really hard ever since he got called up. It's just, it's been into the shift, or it's been falling for outs. So it's good to see him kind of get some loft in the air like he's shown to do in the minor leagues and hit it over the fence and really show what kind of hitter he is. I thought the walk yesterday against Dylan Cease was almost as impressive as the home run. Obviously, the home run is definitely a good thing, but just his plate appearances, he knows what he's doing. He can control the strike zone. It's really impressive to watch.
See, but you make a good point, because not only is he a guy that can turn a mistake into a home run, he's got tremendous power, but he has a great approach.
Yeah.
He's patient enough to where he will take a walk. Okay, he's a very disciplined hitter, and that's why he's so dangerous. You know, he's not swinging at everything, just simply selling out for a home run. It really feels like he's a complete hitter with that approach, and I think that's what separates him from a lot of prospects. And that walk was very important, and that suggests that this is a different kind of a prospect that we've seen with the Royals. They can really do it all, whether it's, you know, slug and on base percentage, and really be a threat in multiple ways.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've been really impressed with all of these young guys, their approach coming up to the plate. They don't seem scared. They know exactly what they're doing. I mean, it might not work out every time. It's not going to work out every time, but it just seems like their preparation is on a different level. I've been really impressed. I mean, this is what we've heard right throughout the entire minors. A lot of, their whole development switch has been all about the approach and elite preparation, but you're really seeing it play out, I think, this week. It just looks different when they come up to the plate. They love to walk. You know, they celebrate walks throughout that dugout. They celebrate, you know, moving guys over. It's just been really fun to watch. It's a different kind of lineup, I think, than what we've seen in the past. And you're seeing it work out a lot. You know, we'll see how it goes moving forward. But there's been a lot of positives this past week.
Refreshing is the word I just keep coming back to about watching these young guys play. And the play discipline thing for long-suffering Royals fans is refreshing, because that's never been this team. I mean, the Royals, back even when they won in 14 and 15, their strength was that they never struck out. They put the ball in play, but they still even then didn't walk very much. They've just never, that's never been a big part of this team. And we interviewed Alex Zumwalt before the year started, and you could see that he was really going to try to implement this, that he had been working on this, and now we're seeing that. That part's refreshing. The attitude and energy of the team is refreshing. I was talking to Jeff Montgomery last night at our A10 event, and I said that to him, and what I thought was interesting, though, Annie, was, you know, and you're in the clubhouse every day. I'm not anymore, so you get a better sense for what the vibe is. But from afar, the vibe in the clubhouse seemed very there was just like a malaise over the team, and there just didn't seem to be this collective buy-in earlier in the season. And now all these young guys seem to be pulling in the same direction, seem to have this energy. But what Monty said to me was, yeah, that would all be great, and young guys always have energy when they come up. But these kids can play. Like, if you have all the great energy, but you're not any good, that only gets you so far. But there's this excitement because they have all that positive energy, and there seems to be real potential. And I'm just curious if you can describe what that vibe is like in the clubhouse now compared to maybe just a month ago.
Yeah, it's really comfortable, I think, for them. They've settled in, and which is, it's fun to watch, because you don't always see that with rookies. Usually they're trying not to mess up, they're trying to, you know, to be seen but not heard, that sort of thing. No, these guys they're here, they're with their best friends. They've been accepted by the few veterans that are on the team. They've been accepted by the coaching staff, like, to be themselves. And I think there's just a freedom to kind of just take a breath when you walk in that clubhouse, and it just kind of feels like home for them, which is so different than what we've seen throughout the year. It was tense a little bit, you know, earlier in the year because of how they were playing. I think it got a little bit better, you know, kind of into the middle months of the season. A little bit less intense, but now it's just a completely different vibe. You walk in and they're having debates about stuff. They're making fun of each other. The music's playing. They're having good conversations. It's no longer I don't feel like I'm walking on eggshells when I walk into the clubhouse every day. So, it's been really fun. You can kind of see Mickey Lopez take over a little bit of a leadership role in the corner of the clubhouse, he and Dozier. And I think everyone's having a lot more fun. They know what their record is. They know it's way under 500. They know they haven't been didn't start the season the way they wanted to, but you can't deny that they're playing better baseball right now, and I think that's definitely led to a more refreshing is a great word for it, just a more positive vibe all around.
Okay, Annie, so another new face we're going to see is 27-year-old outfielder Brent Rooker, and he was acquired at the trade deadline from the Padres for Cam Gallagher. But he is familiar to the Royals because before that, he played for the Minnesota Twins, and he was a prospect that was talked about a lot. And I did have my eye on him because he put up monster numbers in the minors, at AAA especially. He had in 2019, his OPS was 933. In 2021, his OPS was 931. This year, his OPS has been like 1,000, and he hit, 3 home runs in 5 games for Omaha. He has had some time in the majors with Minnesota in 2021. In 189 at-bats, he only hit 201, but he did pop 9 home runs. He's clearly got power. I'm just curious, what might his role be? How do they view him? At 27 years old, he's a little bit older, but there's something there. There's some power there. What did you think of that acquisition, and maybe what role might he have moving forward? Is he going to get a look? Are they going to see what they've got in Brent Rooker?
Yeah, I thought it was a good add for this organization just because of his power potential. You know, you kind of wonder when you get someone who maybe hasn't tapped into that as much, how much the Royals development system can help him. And I think with him working with Alex Dumald up in the majors will definitely help. I don't foresee him getting too many starts, but I do foresee him being a bat off the bench for the Royals. He'll play the corner outfield, and it's a right-handed bat too. They have a really left-handed heavy lineup, so get another right-hander in there if they need it. I think that's why they wanted him up here so soon, especially after seeing that quick power potential that he had in Omaha.
Hey, let's talk about the pitching a little bit, Annie, because not only has the hitting and the approach been refreshing, but it seems like some of the young pitchers are obviously coming along as well. But Brady Singer's got to be at the top of the list right now. And this weekend, I was talking to Marco about this earlier. To see the Royals go out and play really well against the Red Sox and White Sox is great. And those are both decent teams. Not like they're, chopped liver. You got the Dodgers coming to town this weekend, who are playing 700 baseball on the year. But I kind of feel like, what do you got to lose? You know, you get to see Lynch, Keller, and Singer go up against the juggernaut. There's not really any expectations on the Royals in terms of making it anywhere this year. This is all about kind of building for the future. How big of an opportunity do you see this weekend being for those three pitchers in particular?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, the pitching has been phenomenal, and as much as we've been talking about this young offense that's thriving, you know, we're having a lot of fun, right? It's been all about the pitching. The reason they're winning these games is because the pitching is keeping them in the games. Chris Bubich had a great start the other day. Zach Greinke, obviously, yesterday was 6 1/3 scoreless innings. I mean, you're starting to see some consistency with the rotation and the bullpen, too, coming around. So it's been great to see for the Royals. Here's a big test for the Dodgers. I was looking last night. The Dodgers are 77-33 with a 236 run differential. That's crazy. So the Royals have a very big test ahead of them, but I also don't really see them really being daunted by it. Vinny Pasquantino last night, or yesterday evening, said, they're not really scared. They're not going to be intimidated just because it's the Dodgers. He's not guaranteeing a win, but he's going to guarantee, them competing their tails off and having three really tough games. So we're going to see what happens. I think it's a great challenge, especially coming off of this week. You know, they might get swept, but they also might stay in these games. And I think that's all that really matters is building a foundation for 2023. And no better way to do that than by facing the best team in baseball.
All right. So we have Annie Rogers. Final question for you, Annie. And this is this may be a difficult question to answer. We've talked about this quite a bit over the past couple of days, because now with Michael Massey up, and you've got Nicky Lopez and Bobby Witt, they're still trying to get Hunter Dozier at bats. Nate Eaton can play third base and can play outfield. So there's some different candidates that are out there. What's your best guess? If you look into your crystal ball, who's the third baseman moving forward for this baseball team?
Well, when you say moving forward, do you mean like in the coming years, or do you mean the rest of the season?
Rest of the season, and then maybe like opening day. Like however you want to answer it.
Real quick, isn't it kind of fascinating that's part of the question right there? You know, like this year and next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think this year they're going to move guys around every day. I know people want a set lineup. I get that too, and I would prefer that as well. But they're going to take advantage of their positional flexibility and versatility, and move guys around every day based on who's available, who needs a day off, and kind of what the best matchup is. I think because the way the outfield looks is dependent on kind of who's behind the plate, too. If Salvi needs a day off, MJ Melendez is going to step in behind the plate, and then he's got an opening in left field. And so there's just going to be a lot of different moving parts for the rest of the season. But I think moving forward means in coming years, third base is definitely an organizational hole that they'll need to fill. I think they can fill it internally if they want to, but I also think it's something where, hey, maybe they go out and try to trade for a third baseman or sign a third baseman, that sort of thing. They've got all the tools that they need internally, but maybe you can fill that externally as well. So I think they've got a lot of options, and that's definitely one position that I'm circling that they need to answer a question about moving forward.
Is it such a problem if they kind of do that again next year? I feel like, and I don't follow them as closely as I do the Royals, but don't teams like Tampa Bay and some of the teams that are kind of more in the new wave thinking move pieces around? It used to be that old school mindset, though, you got to play the same position every day to get comfortable and get in a routine. But is that outdated thinking at this point?
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem if you know that you have all the tools available for you in the lineup and on the bench, that you feel like you can move people around. I don't think it's a bad thing, definitely. They could do this next year, too, but I think it's a question they have to answer over the offseason is, what do they want to do when it comes to, using the versatility or having a set infield every day. I think it'll be interesting. I think it's a big question to answer in the offseason as we kind of start to look toward those months.
Annie, as always, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
That was Annie Rogers from MLB.com. She covers the Royals. We'll be back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am live inside the drum room, inside the Hilton President Hotel in downtown Kansas City, Missouri. My favorite place to stay, the only place to stay here downtown, and I love it. The Hilton President Hotel, the official hotel of WHB's 100-year anniversary. It opened in 1927. Frank Bowles was here for the grand opening, and so he loved it. Still comes here to this day. The Hilton President is the only hotel in the Power and Light District. Just steps from the T-Mobile Center, just steps from the Midland, because I walked in the Midland and walked back, and it was just a few steps. It's awesome. They have 213 rooms and suites, plenty of on-site parking. Nate, the drum room is a great place for happy hour, to have some delicious food, some wonderful drinks, a great place to pregame or celebrate after an event. And also, they have the breakfast buffet up in the Walnut Room. I was able to get some eggs, but just a little bit, so there will be a return trip after the show, and I'll eat with my family. but a wonderful place to stay at the President Hotel, the Hilton President Hotel in downtown Kansas City, Missouri. I'm inside the drum room right now, and we have Tim Grunhard, who's joined us. Hello, Timmy. How are you?
I am awesome. Had a great time last night, and the only better, well, I don't know about better place, but the only place that I would stay other than the president is right across the street where my son actually lives in the Power and Light building, wow. The old
Love
Power and
Light
building. Love
that place, man. So cool.
Does he have a breakfast buffet by any
chance? He does. I'm sure that it's cold pizza. And, but he's up on the 28th floor, so we went over there yesterday and went up and spent some time with him and checked out and parked over in his garage and then walked right across. I am so impressed with Power and Light. I haven't been down there in a while. It was packed with people. Looked like everybody's having a good time. And then, you know, and then let's focus in on what we did. I was just talking with Nate. You know, it was a little long, but I will tell you this. I have never seen a collection of celebrities like I saw yesterday in one spot. And then all the fans and all the listeners that showed up. It was just really, really cool. I'm just so proud of 810 WHB. I'm so proud of Kansas City for being able to host that event. All the high school kids that were there were having a blast and who got the ESPY Awards. All the celebrities had a blast and all the fans had a blast. At the end of the night, you know, I don't drink anymore. So it's kind of funny to see the progression of people.
Or regression.
Yeah, regression is probably a better word.
There was no progress being made. Yeah. Let me tell you that right now.
There were some people that had a great, great time, and I'm glad they did. But it was an eye-opener for sure. You know, because, I mean, it was four or five hours of open bar. So what do you expect? But really a good time had by all. No problems, no issues. Steven, you did a wonderful job. You and Dustin did. I'm going to tell you, Sarah looked at me during your Elvis impression and said, wow, he is a talented, talented dude. So I'm being serious. I'm not jacking with you. You're a showman. You know, you are a showman. You did a great job. And Nate did a really good job of interviewing the sporting guys. And you know, everybody did a really good job. It was a long night, but it was really, really fun. And congratulations to all the people behind the scenes. And Chad, I will tell you this, and I know we're running out of time. I will tell you this. When he brought it up to me, I thought he was crazy. Mm-hmm. I really did. I said, it's not going to work. I mean, you can't get all those people, and you can't fill that place up. And, you know, 100-year anniversary, it's just not going to work. And I said, I'll help you out as much as I can, Chad, but I just don't know how this is really going to come about. And they pulled it together. Great job, guys.
Well, that's Tim Grunhard. We've got him for the next hour of power.
I have a match today over at Wolf Creek at 10:10. So
45 minutes of limits coming up with Tim Grunhard on Sports Radio 810 WHB.